Well, to me anyway, a Celtic Woman video is almost like a preview of heaven. Hello, this is William Fink. This is the Christogenia Fellowship Forum. It is Thursday, May 5th, 2011. I was asked today to discuss Isaiah chapter 65, talking about previews of heaven, right? I'm going to take it from the top of chapter 65. This is, it's a good chapter. A lot of it coincides with Revelation chapter 21, and other scriptures, of course. I am sought of them that asked not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. We can't, I know a lot of universalists would love to take this passage, cut it from the rest of Isaiah right there, and run with it down the field. And of course, every time you do that, you're going to run into a wall, even if you don't realize it, or off a cliff. Isaiah here is describing divorced Israel, and Paul's words will prove that momentarily. For now, I will quote Hosea chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. Then said Yahweh, call his name Lo Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. This is when the children of Israel, for their disobedience, were being divorced, put off out of the country, the presence of his temple, and the de facto presence, I guess, of God. Yet the number of the children of Israel, as Hosea goes on, and Yahweh goes on to promise, shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said to them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said to them, ye are the sons of the living God. And all the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together, appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land. Great shall be the day of Jezreel. So we see that even though the children of Israel are being put off from the presence of God, we are looking forward to a future generation of those same people who will be accepted by God. Isaiah 65:2. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walks in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. This is quoted by Paul in Romans chapter 10, verse 21. But to Israel he says, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. So we see that Paul understood that Isaiah was talking here to nobody but Israel. Isaiah 65:3, a people that provokes me to anger continually to my face. That's what we do in our sin. We provoke our God to anger. This still is in effect unto this day. It sacrifices in gardens, a reference to pagan religions, and burns incense upon altars of brick, which remains among the graves and lodges in the monuments, which eats swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels, which says, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. Which reflects the fact that these people are very self-righteous. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense into their bosom. Your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith Yahweh, which have burned incense upon the mountains, and blasphemed thee upon the hills, blasphemed him by their actions. Therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. They're going to be punished for those deeds. Thus saith Yahweh, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one says, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servants' sakes. We are the grapes. That blessing is in us, and he will preserve us for his servants' sakes, for our sakes. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. Universalists want to misinterpret Isaiah 65:1 and claim that it's being spoken of a people other than the children of Israel. Well, Isaiah 65:9 demonstrates the folly of that. The promises and the covenants of God lie only with the seed out of Jacob, with the children, the literal children of Israel. Isaiah 65:10, and Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for the herds to lie down in, for my people that have sought me. This can only refer to Christian Israelites. Isaiah 65:11. But you are they that forsake Yahweh, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Some people take the word Gad, which is translated troop here, and Mani, which is translated number, to be the names of particular idols. I reject that, not only from the Hebrew, but from the context. I rather believe that that troop and that number are references to the Antichrist enemies of Yahweh, and that this is a condemnation of those people who would placate the enemies of Yahweh. When you prepare a table for that troop, when you let the Jew into your nation, the Canaanite into your nation, and you furnish a drink offering unto that number, when you feed and succor the enemies of God, there is no doubt that you are going to be punished for that. We see that today in modern history. We did it again. Our ancient ancestors were put out of the land of Israel for accepting the Canaanites and learning their ways. They were punished for it. Today we've done it again, and now they rule over us. Isaiah 65:12. Therefore will I number you to the sword. That's the punishment we get for accepting the enemies of God. And ye shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, ye did not answer. When I spake, ye did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose wherein I delighted not. You know, we're told today to come out of Babylon. Our ancient ancestors were tied up with the Canaanites, and they were punished for it. How many of our people today can't hear the will of God or the word of God because they'd rather watch pimp ball? They'd rather watch football or basketball. They'd rather be gambling in casinos and partying in taverns with all of the aliens and the strangers and the enemies of our God. So, of course, they're not going to hear his message or his word, and they're going to suffer punishment for it in this age as Babylon falls once more. Isaiah 65:13. Therefore thus saith Yahweh God, behold, my servants shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. Let me read Luke 6, verses 20 and 21. And he, raising his eyes to his students, his servants, said, blessed are the poor, because yours is the kingdom of heaven, of Yahweh. Blessed are those hungering now, because you shall be filled. Blessed are those weeping now, because you shall laugh. Those of us who embrace the world appear to do very well in it. They have their fill now, because they'd rather follow the enemies of our God and love the world rather than love our God and love their kinsmen, because they'd rather seek earthly rewards rather than heavenly. As Daniel says in chapter 12, verse 2, many of us will awaken to eternal life, and many of us will awaken to eternal reproach. We will be punished in the next life. We will be punished because we will have no reward, because we embraced the world and lived in sin in this life. People that are filled in this life, people that are happy with this world, and this is talking about our people, this is not talking about the enemies. The enemies won't exist in the next world. They're twice dead, they have no spirit. They go into the lake of fire, eternal destruction. When they die in this world, they're dead. This is talking about the children of Adam, specifically the children of Israel. Some of us are going to awaken to eternal reproach because we loved this world. Those of us who didn't love this world, who hunger now, will be filled in the kingdom to come. We shall inherit the kingdom. We shall be filled and laugh, because we have suffered in this age for the sake of our God, knowing that our race is being chastised unto obedience by him. Isaiah 65:15. And ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for Yahweh God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. Going back to verse 12, this again is being spoken by to those who reject the Christ. And indeed, because our ancestors rejected God, the names Judah and Israel have been left to his enemies and have been considered a curse to most of our race throughout Christian history. There was a time, not long ago, I would say up into approximately the late 1900s, the late 19th century, the late 1800s, when to be a Jew, Christians considered you to be a curse. Our people knew, before the Schofield and Bullinger Bibles came out, our people knew that Jews were a cursed people because they rejected Christ. And to be a Jew was to be a curse. To be an Israeli, an Israeli is a curse to Christians. It should be. Of course, most foolish Christians think it's a blessing today because all of the nations are deceived. But for 1800 years in the history of our race, to be a Jew was to be a curse. To be an Israelite or a Hebrew, they had those terms confused with the children of Esau. To be an Israelite or a Hebrew was to be a curse. We know better now, as we know that they're not Israelites or Hebrews. But those names became curses to the people of God. Most of our race, until recently, when our people have been deceived by the beast that deceives the whole world. Isaiah 65:16. But he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth, and he that swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. Yahweh said that he would forgive the children of Israel and all of our former sins. The day is coming, and many of us have already started, and this is true to some extent throughout Christian history, but the day is coming when anyone who blesses himself in the earth will be blessing himself in Yahweh, because the only people in the earth will be the children of Yahweh. Isaiah 65:17, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. I like to kid, and I'm really not kidding. I like to kid that today we debate whether or not it was a Holocaust. Well, in the next stage, we might be debating whether or not it was a Jew. Revelation 21:1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth departed, and the sea is no longer. The new heavens and the new earth are not necessarily taken literally of the planet. For my part, I believe that they very well represent a new way of life and a new form of government. They're metaphors or allegories. New heaven and a new earth, what will be a new start here on this planet. It's not going to be a planet that miraculously disappears and is replaced. So we see the same language here in Isaiah 65 as we do in Isaiah, or in Revelation chapter 21, Isaiah 65:18. But be ye glad and rejoice forever, and that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. We have again that same promise in the Revelation that every tear would be wiped from our eyes. This is describing the new Jerusalem, the city descended from heaven, the government of God on earth, which is what we are looking forward to. But his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This has not yet happened, so we have to expect it in the future. Isaiah 65:20. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. Remember earlier in the prophecy of Isaiah talking about the sin of the children of Israel that were going to be put out of the land, there was a prophecy that another, we would build houses and another would dwell in them, and we would plant fields and another would eat of them. And this in the future is a promise that we will benefit from the fruit of our labors, and there will be no parasites and no devils to take it away from us. That's all this is. Now, the beginning of this verse is a little difficult to understand, and that there are several translations of it. I'll read that there are several translations that add words to it also in order to understand it. And I'll read Isaiah 65:20 from the NAS, the New American Standard Bible. No longer will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his days. The youth will die at the age of 100, and the one who does not reach the age of 100 shall be thought accursed. I haven't studied the Hebrew of this verse, but I'll read the Septuagint. Neither shall there be any more, and Brenton's adding words here, a child that dies untimely, or an old man who shall not complete his time, for the youth shall be 100 years old, and the sinner who dies at 100 years shall also be accursed. What I believe that this says, that this verse in general, what I believe that it says, is that 100-year-old will still be considered a young man. We will live lifespans that Yahweh our God created us to live, and we see how long some of the patriarchs lived, right? They lived to be 1,000 years old, some of them. And that a man who is a sinner and lives to be 100, he shall be accursed. And that's because it will be so miserable for a man who is a sinner in the kingdom of heaven, that to live 100 years, to live that long in misery, shall indeed be a curse. I believe that that's simply exemplary of the fact that there won't really be any sinners in the sense that we know in this age today. And as Paul promises, and as the Revelation also states so many times, there won't be any pedophiles or fornicators or drug pushers or any sort of people like that in the kingdom of heaven. It just won't exist. Verse 22. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. And we've seen that discussed, where part of our curses of disobedience from our God are that we would plant and somebody else would eat. We would build houses and somebody else would build it, would live in them. Look at our cities here in this world today. People that have empathy for these other races simply don't realize that these other races are the canker worm and the palma worm and the locust that Yahweh sent among us. In the book of Amos, it was prophesied that Yahweh sent among us to punish us. Their destruction is also promised, the fulfillment of our punishment. This book is not about them, it's about us, and whether or not we are ultimately going to understand obedience to our God. And when that day comes, they shall be removed. When he removes them, he will do it for his glory and not for ours, that we understand what has been going on. When you see a Negro living in a nice house, when you see Arabs who have taken over the streets of your city, you know that that is a sign that your people are being punished by God. They are that punishment. They are the canker worms and the palma worms. They are the beasts, as Jeremiah describes them, sent among us to punish us, and to test us. For the day is coming that we shall build cities and houses, and another shall not inhabit. That we shall plant arms and orchards, and the aliens shall not eat from them. In the days of a tree are the days of my people, while trees live very, very long. And mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, as we have been these past several hundred years. For they are the seed, the offspring of the blessed of Yahweh, and their offspring with them. This is all racial, people. This is not behavioral. This Isaiah 65 is a refutation of universalism. These other people are not going to partake in the kingdom with us by any means. They're all going into the lake of fire because their names were not written into the book of life. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. In other words, our prayers will be answered, as long as we're in obedience to our God. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. It shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith Yahweh. Now again, this last verse in Isaiah 65, just like the first verse, the universalist can take it and run with it and misconstrue it, but it's not talking about universalism. The serpent has been feeding off of us now for how many thousands of years, even though he was designed to eat dust. It's using an allegory. The serpent that has been chastising us is going back to the dust. Or rather, prophecies, of course, that he's going to be destroyed permanently. This prophecy does not negate those. This is an exemplary use of allegorical teaching. The wolf and the lamb, the lion and the ox, are all Israelite symbols throughout the Bible in diverse places. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf, Judah is a lion, Ephraim is an ox. So I can't take any of these statements to support universalism, but when the rest of Isaiah chapter 65 refutes it, it's very clear. Okay, we could talk about this chapter if anybody would like, or we could talk about something else. I'd rather we not talk about cutting grass, but that's okay. I'm going to open up the microphones of all the Europeans, and if anybody else wants to say anything, please let me know, and I'll open your microphone too. Hello. Hello. How are we doing today?
Hello. Oh, we are all open now.
Okay. Here we are.
Doing fine.
Yeah, working.
Hello. Hold on here.
How you doing, Alan?
Hello.
Hi there.
Even. Everybody is.
I don't know if Olam's anything to do with William, by the way.
That's nice for you.
It probably doesn't. I see you like the Saxon Messenger. I'm sorry it was a couple of weeks late. That's my fault, of course.
Okay.
But we'll try to get May's out in May, at least. I don't know if it'll be before the 31st, but we'll try to get it out in May.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah.
Well, I found something today that was pretty interesting in the Book of Numbers. I don't know. I just kind of skipped over it or never realized it, but it was talking about the firstborn and how the firstborn are dedicated to Yahweh, that they're His. They were talking about how they're setting up the temple and at the time of Moses. And
Right, and Yahweh took the Levites in place of the firstborn. Hello.
Born son. I'm not sure whether it was 5 shekels or something. Mm. You had to redeem them.
Mm-hmm. Even, yeah.
I don't, it's a long time since I've looked at that.
Yeah.
I don't know how I changed my own channel. I was wondering why things got so quiet here. I'm sorry. The firstborn, the Levites were taken in place of the firstborn, right? It says that explicitly in Numbers.
Yes, the Levites were dedicated to the temple, but the firstborn Yahweh took for him, his own. Out of Septuagint, I think that's, what is it, Numbers 8:17. I just found that pretty interesting.
He's right. But now the real firstborn in the family, it should be, if he is making a big mistake and he's making a lot of fuss and mucks and rubbish, then I can't see him anymore as one of being taken for that purpose. And very often he is going to shift it over to another one in the family. That's what I can see very often. So the first one born should be, but in the end, turns out that the other one is it. It's not the real first one. So he is deciding also who is his firstborn,
mm-hmm.
at least. So it comes to broad daylight. It should indeed be the first one. But I've seen it in many families that it turns out to be something different.
Yes, and David's family as well, for instance.
And David, yeah. David was the last one, the youngest. Yeah. And if I'm going to look at my own family and my own brethren, I was the youngest, and I was the only one who was taking up. The others simply said no to the rules of Yahweh. So that simply means they are walking around and are dead, stone dead. Yeah, you had to choose for him, not for the opposite way. And my eldest brother, he knew, oh, it has to do with something with my father, his interest, so I say no. Well, that's stupid. He is still alive, but it's crooked. It's the wrong way to do. You have to listen, and you have to take his word. That's the best. Yeah. So I had my lessons that way, indeed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a pity that such a thing is happening, for it should be the eldest one. But indeed, we know it. David was also the youngest one. This goes on and on in history. You always see that. Esau was the elder one. And it was Jacob who was chosen after all. Yeah, that was the birthright and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, somebody has to take up the lamp and the light. That one is the one he wants. For, you're chosen in advance. He knows exactly who he wants. Yeah, but you all get the chance. You all have the same chance. But then you're simply saying no, then it is no. You're killing yourself. Yeah. So many of these things that we are thinking about, he did it, and he is this, and he is that. You have to take care of your own faults first, and check your own life, and then you will see, there are many mistakes I made, I better change them. You always have to think about what is to be done and to be said about, and then you will learn a lot. That's right. Yeah. Well, we are on the end of the days. We have the end time, the hardest of all. But we will make it. We have the opportunity. Many are asked for to come, and only a few are coming. Pity, but it is so. Oh, we can pray for it, and we do. And whether it works, seen in the end. The lucky thing is we have an interesting group, and we can talk together. This is important.
Right. Yep. I'll tell you where sometimes I get a little crossed up is what laws do we keep and what laws we don't. Still keep eye for an eye.
Oh, okay.
Tooth for a tooth.
Not for your brother.
Yeah.
But
the point with the children of Israel is that we're to love each other more than we love ourselves. And by that we serve God. And if one of your brethren, one of the children of Israel, does you harm, and I'm going to be talking about this at length. I don't know if I'm going to get to it Friday, but
yeah.
I'll definitely get to it next week with the Sermon on the Mount. If one of your brethren does you harm, you're supposed to shrug it off.
Yeah, but what about, I'm talking like murder, rape, and stuff like that.
Well, the community is supposed to excoriate murderers and rapists.
Mm.
Yeah. They have no chance for.
Because I still believe in the death penalty.
but that we've lost our right to judgment. We've lost that right in relationship to our covenants with God, and all rights of judgment derive with God, right?
Yeah.
Well, but you're supposed to judge in. But if you do judge, but you judge in righteous judgment.
But we're told to put sinners out from among us. We're told to take the sinners and put them out from among us, and Yahweh will judge them. That's very explicit. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It's the message of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Mm. If we have faith in our God, then that's what we should do, and know that he will judge that person if that person's guilty.
Good.
But you see, we don't practice Christianity. That's the problem we have.
That's the problem.
Yeah. But we let beasts sin, and we coddle sinners.
Yes, we've lost control of our society over the last 100 years.
So yes.
We can't impose the death penalty unless the people clamor for it. And no British government is going to risk having a referendum because even now, despite 60 years of BBC anti-death penalty propaganda, there's still about 60% of the population want it restored, but it's not as simple as that, because unless you restore the laws on giving evidence, contempt of court or lying in court, perjury, a perjurer should be put to death. So if you don't bring in parallel laws, then you risk convicting the wrong person, you know, an innocent person, and putting them to death.
Right. We've gone astray with the law a long time ago, because a perjurer is, and if you look to the Old Testament law, a perjurer should suffer the same penalty that the person who he's perjuring against would suffer if he were found guilty. But we've lost our right to in the eyes of our God, when our ancient ancestors were put off and divorced from him and put off from the Old Covenant, we lost our right to judge by the Old Covenant. That's what we don't understand.
What was that? First Corinthians?
1 Corinthians chapter 5. To put the sinners out from among us, and God will judge them.
Well,
under the new covenant, if we had faith in our God, that's what we would do.
But it's just like our jails now, and the money spent. I was talking to my cousin, he's a sheriff over there, and, you know, he was saying that the jails are just full of all these blacks. And, I mean, there are some whites in there, but I guess that would work out if, you know, I mean, I just don't see these people murdering and raping and jumping back out of jail and murdering and raping, and they just get, you know, it's, we got to, that's...
Well, first, they're friggin' animals. That's our first mistake. They're animals. They're not people. Our society treats them as people. Dogs and apes don't understand the rule of law. We're never going to learn that as a people.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
The beasts will never, ever... This is what's wrong with Eli's theology. That when God comes back, all the Mexicans and Negroes are going to go home and we're going to rule over them. They never had the capacity to understand law. When a Negro feels sorry for something, he only feels sorry because he got caught. Period.
Yeah.
And when you let him go, he's going to do the same damn thing all over again. I've seen it for 25 years. I've seen it.
Yep. Now, I mean, some of the horrendous crimes I've been reading about in the last 2 days over in the States and in England there, one white girl getting that acid thrown in her face and everything like that, and these guys just get away with that kind of stuff.
It's going to get, they're going to get more and more brazen as they increase in numbers.
Yeah, even.
I mean, some of the cruel raping little six-year-old girl, white girls coming in and beating up,
when our people learn that they're animals, then maybe, perhaps, repentance can begin.
Maybe, yeah.
And they protect them. They protect them. You know, and then you hear these people say, oh, well, we're going to pray for them. I forgive them. You know, we already came to the conclusion that, you know, we're Christians and we forgave them.
Well, you know something? And I'm going to use some graphic language here, right? There's prophecy in Jeremiah and there's prophecy in Ezekiel that basically state that our people, because of our sin, are going to lay down on our bellies and let all these other races have our asses.
Yeah.
It's prophecy that says that we will open our legs to all these other nations. And that's exactly what we've been doing. We've been getting screwed, and it's because of our own sin. It's part of our punishment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And there's prophecy that says exactly that, that we will spread our ankles, open our feet to all these other nations. And that's exactly what it's saying. And I know that's graphic, it's disgusting, but that's the scripture. That's the picture that's painted. And when you look at what's going on in the world today, that's exactly what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, beating people up in the streets there, and just, and I don't know, when I was younger, you know, we, if you did that to somebody, one of our friends or whatever, we if it was a black or a Mexican, whatever, we'd have to get them. I mean, I don't know. The kids are different now. They just step, like that one video you have there, Bill, and it shows that boy in England there, standing there, and there are four or five black boys beating him up, and he's just standing there.
Yeah, right. That's absolutely incredible.
And these guys are punching him and everything, and he's not even trying to defend himself. I just don't. What?
And they don't realize that it'll be better for you if you defend yourself, that they'll respect you more.
Yeah.
They respect you a lot more when they think that they might get hurt because you're going to defend yourself, even if they know that you're weaker, that they think they might get hurt. They're going to leave you alone.
I don't know. It's different over here in Northern Ireland, huh? Over here.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, vengeance.
Well, in Northern Ireland, people... There's a certain amount of sort of rough justice, you know.
Yes.
People have lost faith in the authorities to punish wrongdoing, and they turn a blind eye to a lot of the punishment, beatings, and shootings from the paramilitaries. But basically, the government, the church, the establishment don't want to deal with, severe crime, just in case someone might criticize them, or in case they may occasionally get the wrong person. So they would rather have, 100 girls being raped than, having one innocent person convicted. And generally, they don't want to punish them at all. They just want to sort of lock them away and write a big check and spend other people's money, housing them for a few years and let them out. But most people know that this stinks. This is very wrong. But it's just they feel powerless because all the churchmen now are. For soft sentencing, none of them are being, the divine laws, an eye for an eye or anything. And there was a famous, there was an infamous paramilitary IRA outrage about 20 years ago when a girl was blown up at the... cenotaph in Enniskillen, a girl called Mary Wilson, and she was with a group of about 15 Christians paying their respects to the dead of the World Wars, and the IRA planted a bomb and she was killed. Now her father survived, and he happened to be a Presbyterian elder in Enniskillen, I think it's the First Presbyterian Church, and he came on, the BBC had him on the next morning saying that he forgave the terrorists for murdering his daughter. Now, I actually felt so angry that he had misinterpreted the scriptures. I wrote to the Daily Telegraph, and it was actually published as a letter, and I think from what I can remember, my point was that, he had no right. He couldn't only marry if she had survived, injured, could possibly forgive her killers. He had no right to forgive them, but because he wasn't directly affected. He happened to be the father. But, of course, the whole liberal establishment went berserk. They loved this, and they...
They
made this stupid elder a senator in the Irish Parliament, They had him on the BBC solidly and in the paper, and he was paraded and he was invited to all the the champagne receptions in Northern Ireland, and a lot of churchmen sort of agreed that he thought that he was a wonderful man that could forgive his daughter's killers, but he had absolutely no Christian right to forgive his killers, and he just misled the whole community, and the whole of Christianity, I believe, was brought into disrepute. He had misunderstood the laws, but it's part of the whole cultural change that you can forgive anything. Of course, you can't forgive being a racist. You know, that's the unforgivable sin in modern society. I mean, you have to be driven out and crushed and stamped to death if you're a racist. Yeah. But everything else, murder, rape, kidnapping, fine. As long as some stupid, gullible, naive Presbyterian elder says he forgives you, well, then it's all forgotten, you see. You can go and look up in the Telegraph archives. You can see my short letter, only the victim, I think, can possibly forgive. And obviously only if they survive a murder attempt. If you're dead, well, then there's no forgiveness. And if you're caught and put through the law and duly convicted by a competent jury of 12 men, law-abiding, decent Christian men, well, then you should face the death penalty, yes, of course. But none of our politicians will dare offer a referendum on that, because it used to be about 90%. I think with 60 years of anti-death penalty propaganda, it's down to about 65%, but the death penalty's always been, any time it's been debated, and it hasn't been debated for about 20 years, it's just 649 MPs in Westminster. They'll never, ever open it out to ordinary people, in a referendum. But I must say, I would be uneasy about the death penalty being restored, because they could easily make so-called hate crimes catch the death penalty, and a lot of our juries that there isn't 12 sensible Christian men or women, for that matter. I mean, most of the people are dumbed down and useless and have very little idea of morals, so I think it's probably better that the death penalty isn't available until the whole system's cleared up,
Yeah, but you don't. One thing about over here in Northern Ireland, you don't hear a lot of girls being raped and stuff like that. You see women walking the streets late at 3 o'clock in the morning here.
Yeah, that is simply because there's still a Christian culture, despite being greatly diluted over 60 years, and people do look out for one another. They're the same people as on the mainland here, but it's just, they're about 20-30 years behind or ahead, depending on which way you look at it. The mainland.
Well, there's no blacks and stuff over here yet. A lot of them.
That's
why.
There are in Dublin, and they're coming, and they the Ulster people are wide open for it because they are probably the most naive, most gullible, decent, trusting people in the world. You know, so all the churchmen now are.
And that's the problem with churches.
The churches have tragically become the enemy to Christianity, to true Christianity.
Yep.
They will roll over and welcome mass immigration of aliens, you know.
Yep.
I don't know any clergymen that speak out on race mixing now. Ian Paisley is a doctorate of Bob Jones University, and when he got his doctorate 30, 40 years ago, I think he still had the no interracial dating rule, but as recorded in one of the talk shows, they gave into that in order to get the charitable status. They rolled over and changed their rules about, 25, 30 years ago? Well, it was George Bush, I think, in his era, that they were the last Bible seminary, apparently, in America to have the no interracial dating rules.
Yeah.
I doubt if there's any now. Would you know about the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, or?
No, I wouldn't.
Well, it's one of the forces that were used to subvert Christianity along with the Dallas Theological Seminary.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of money went into those organizations, and they gained a lot of influence.
There was a lot of communist organizations there in Chicago, too.
Sure.
Did a lot of damage.
But you don't expect the Protestant evangelical churches to be infiltrated and accepting dodgy money, but...
Why wouldn't they? I mean, they love money just like everybody else. That's what we're told would happen.
Yeah.
Well, but as I was saying, you're seeing... I was down in Belfast yesterday, had to go to a funeral down there, and in the bigger cities in Belfast and stuff, I am seeing more black.
Well, let me read Isaiah, Ezekiel 16, Ezekiel 16, 24 and 25. That thou hast also built under thee an eminent place and has made thee a high place in every street. There are your churches, right? Thou hast built thy high place at the head of every way and has made thy beauty to be abhorred and has opened thy feet to everyone that passed by. That means spread thy legs. And that's what it means. And multiply thy whoredoms. Thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbors, great of flesh, and has increased thy whoredoms to provoke me to anger. If the children of Israel provoke Yahweh to anger, and it goes on to talk about their intercourse with the Assyrians, with the other Adamic nations, imagine what he thinks about us fornicating with Negroes.
Yeah.
Check out that Scottish Christian Party site. Entire congregation is Caucasian, and the pastor is crazy.
I'm sorry, RP, you cut out a little bit.
Yeah, you cut out.
Yeah, I know. I haven't bought that new... Yeah, the Scottish Christian Party, the pastor, the head of that organization, is an African.
Oh.
Not too Scottish, is he?
I don't... Yeah.
Yes. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's people...
The last king.
I think ever since that Obama got in, they just think that, oh, geez, you know, that's the cool thing to do.
Yeah.
I don't know. They don't... Over here, you just don't have them around, and people just don't know. I've talked to paramilitary guys over here. They're, I don't know, both of them, IRA and they said, well, I never had a Pakistani ever try to kill me before. The only ones that ever tried to kill me was your so-called white brothers. I said, well, you haven't seen anything yet. Wait till these people get in here. And you've ruled.
Yes, but they are coming. They are coming. And the Irish people, north and south, have no arguments. They have no intellectual arguments to stop it, you see.
Yeah.
Because they're not allowed to think it, you know, that their churches, their preachers are at best equivocal and at worst that they're all for race mixing.
But it's their fault for not reading their own Bibles. Why haven't they read their own Bibles?
Yeah. Reverend Gale used to call it being Judaized.
But what do they do when they go home? Do they watch football or do they read the Bible? Well, when they go home, do they watch whatever your equivalent is of American Idol or do they read the Bible? Britain's Got Talent. They'd rather watch Britain's Got Talent, right?
Yeah.
And when they watch Britain's Got Talent, what do they see? They see some monkey up on the stage making an abortion of what Western music.
But part of the problem is that their King James Bible tends to translate as generation.
Churches.
But a thinking man can see through that.
Yeah. Well, you know, they up here, honestly, really, they haven't had it like down south. They're starting to change down south because I'm getting more acquainted with people from the Christian right down in southern Ireland, you know, down in the Republic. You know, it's just a matter of time. You live around these people, you'll become a racist.
Well, you know, Yahweh said that he would sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and the seed of beast, that there aren't any of us that are going to escape that fate.
Right.
The question is how many of us are going to eat the sour grapes? That's the question.
That's right.
Yes, but none of their preachers will explain any of this to them.
Well, of course not. They're eating the sour grapes.
There is very little problem in Ireland because there's still, apart from Dublin,
in Northern Ireland,
there's very, very few at the moment, you know. There are in Dublin. Dublin's always been a bit of a cosmopolitan
800,000 gypsies from, 800,000 Romanian gypsies, I heard.
Oh, Romanians. Yeah, well, they're probably not all gypsies, you know. Some of them could be Israelites, you know.
Saw some of them, but they didn't look very white to me.
Yes, but they're not black, you see, or dark brown. It's only when large numbers flood into Belfast and some of the bigger cities in the north, then people will start to think. They'll ask their pastors what's going on, but by then it'll be too late.
I lived through it. I lived in areas where it was white, and then we became integrated, and then we moved, and then the neighborhood became integrated again. And then we moved. Yeah. You know, I've seen
yes,
it.
But,
I know it happens. You know.
But in Northern Ireland, people have been preoccupied for 35 years with the with the Republican versus the Loyalist spat,
the,
you know, the skirmishes, and very few black, brown people have wanted to come in, you know, because they've been afraid to come in.
I watch them going down the street here, looking over their shoulders.
when they're only 1 or 2% of the population, that they're not really a problem, and people can forget about them. And a lot of Ulster people love their Chinese food, and they don't get much trouble from the Chinese community. Mm-hmm. They very, very few Negro types.
Down in Belfast, you see them.
Great news.
But they'll be coming in, you know, because in England, the locals are beginning to get angry, so they're going to divert them over. they're going to bus them or ship them over to Ireland, but because you know the strongly so-called the Judeo-Christian people will welcome them, that there'll be virtually no opposition at all from the churches, from what I gather from my knowledge of Northern Ireland, that they'll be probably even more welcoming than the English or Scottish clergy.
Well,
you know?
I'll tell you what happens after they start moving in. They start going to the clubs where all the white girls, and then the white.
Look at Miss Ireland. Have you seen Miss Ireland? Have you seen Miss Ireland?
No.
I saw an article last month that made me sick. This beautiful white girl, she's Miss Ireland, and she has a monkey on her back.
Oh.
And she's proud of it.
Yeah.
Nice. And she's a beautiful white girl. She's gorgeous.
Hey, Bill, they're called blockbusters. They do stuff like that. She's paid by probably by the ADL or something like that, you know.
I'm certain.
To promote this kind of stuff.
She should be stoned in a public square. That's what we have to pray that Yahweh judges her.
But you wait. Yeah, I'm telling you, you wait. Olam, you wait over here till they start raping the women here, your women. You wait till they start doing that because that's exactly what they're doing down south. They're starting all
right.
That. It's the same old thing. Every time they come in, when they get at least 20%, then they start their stuff.
Yeah.
20 of them, whatever. You know, you'll have that trouble.
But is there any response, any reaction? Certainly, I don't hear any in the media. But of course, the media is controlled. So,
they're having terrible gunfights down there and gang fights now. You know, between the Pakistanis and the blacks. You know, over drug territories.
But it's I don't think it's reported in the mainstream media.
Well, I didn't catch the link, but somebody here posted a link the other night, and it was a group of Hispanic and a group of blacks in a club in Florida, and there was a particular group of blacks that were all deaf, and they were giving each other sign language, and the Hispanics took it as gang signs and shot them all dead.
Good news.
Well, that's all right.
I wish that more of them would learn sign language.
You're starting to make my night tonight, Bill.
I wish I had the link. It's somewhere in here, but I'll probably never find it.
I'll have to call my relatives to find good news like that.
Hey, George Hargrave's wife was at least black and died of liver disease. Odds are now, you know, it's just shocking that the folks over there. On Bill's site, he's got a bunch of videos where set up that program and
you're breaking up
in all the blacks. Oh, I'm sorry.
Didn't hear.
Yeah, that woman that's bringing in all the foreigners into Sweden. Bill has on his site. Every time I see that video,
boom.
Here you go. I found a link. Russ is cutting out a little. A group of deaf mute friends stabbed at a bar after thugs mistake sign language for gang signs. I love it. It's great. I thought they were shot. They were stabbed.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Yeah. Hey, let me see.
I found that word. Miss Ireland.
Okay.
Big monkey.
Yes, that's disgusting. That is absolutely pitiful.
He's a big old evil.
Oh, he just fell out of a tree a few years ago.
Oh.
He just learned how to put clothes on for the first time.
Terrible.
Put that link on.
They have to have something on her family, or she's maybe they gave her a lobotomy in her sleep. I don't know. I don't understand it. And she's proud of it.
I don't know either.
How is it possible? Disney news,
Well, in England, one of our most popular girl singers, Cheryl Cole, was married to a sort of half-caste footballer, Ashley Cole, but their marriage of a couple of years broke up just about 6 months, or about a year ago. But I think it's a sort of a fashion item, you know. It's considered cool and tolerant, of course, if you're hanging out with a black man.
Well, their agents tell them to do this. You know, the agents
but,
tell these.
I mean, they're Jewish agents?
Maybe some of them could be, yeah, sure.
Most of them.
You know what, the way it is, they just know it. You know, they just know that when these girls get into this kind of stuff and they get higher up, it's like a thing like being in Hollywood. You just know to desecrate Christ. If you want to get anywhere, you have to do what the beast says. You know.
Yeah, they say she's going to win Miss Universe.
That's just the way, you just know it. And that's why you see a lot of them coming out of Hollywood, a lot of those comedians, what's her name, Kathy Griffin's and all them, running down Christ and stuff like that. You know, they take the pills, and you do that, and you can, you get promoted. You know, she won the Golden Globe or whatever it was. I used to know her. She's going out with a nigger now.
Yeah.
Well, I was working at a place, and this lady that was high school prom queen, hallway with this aerobics instructor kissing him. He was half black.
Yeah.
And noticed me and a guy named Bill Pastor saw it. You know, so came over and she said, "Well, once you go black, you don't go back." And Bill said to her quicker than I did, he said, "We don't want you back."
Yeah.
It was great.
Yes.
But one time...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm fine.
No, I'm just saying that's one reason why you don't let your daughter have black girlfriends, see? Because when they have black girlfriends, they have black brothers. Black girls have black brothers. The black brother asked the girl out, you know, his sister's friend out. And of course, she can't say no because she doesn't want to be a racist, and that's a big problem right there.
But another thing you shouldn't do is let your daughter see you worshiping the niggers carrying a ball down the field on TV.
There you go.
I think the films have got a lot to do with it. The American films.
You're right.
They're showing.
Ooh. Right on the money. Yep.
My own granddaughter said to me one day how beautiful they looked, as though they'd got a suntan, you know, she was putting it like. I said, "Well, do you want to be a purebred?" Or I had to relate it to horses, because that's the language she understands.
Oh.
I said, "Oh, do you want to sort of mongrelize?" I hope that simple explanation stayed with her, but they're being brainwashed by films because they pick out these beautiful half-colored people and they all think they look lovely.
And that's why we shouldn't have those boxes in our homes. But we shouldn't have those movies in our homes.
I know.
With kids, the rabbis don't have them. The rabbis over, I saw that show over in Israel, they don't have them. They don't have TVs. They don't let their children watch that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Tiger Woods is, I suppose, reasonably handsome.
I can fix that.
With modern hair straightening devices and makeup, some of these black girls do look attractive. I know some of you would disagree, but... They do clean up, but they're probably hand-picked, you know, deliberately.
Yes, yeah.
They're unlikely to bring on ugly people. And, I mean, in Britain, you know, most of the news readers and weather people now are half-caste.
Yeah, I noticed that. Copying Obama.
And that they are deliberately chosen as reasonably intelligent and reasonably good looking. It's they're probably hand picked, but I mean, if you're a white Caucasian news reader, you have no chance of a job now in Britain, you know.
I'll be right back.
But you see, the people will accept a half caste, and they may be reluctant to accept a full Negro, or but I mean, Lewis Hamilton, the Formula One racing driver, is half caste. And I suppose he's not ugly himself, but he's obviously reasonably intelligent. You can't be a racing driver, world class racing driver, without being reasonably intelligent. But I'm sure he's been deliberately chosen and nurtured and cultured and financed and subsidized. I'm sure that's how they do it, you know. I mean, Tiger Woods may have also been groomed, you know, especially encouraged, because people can accept him because he's only halfway.
Best Korean golfer I've ever seen.
Sorry?
Best Korean golfer I've ever seen.
He's not all black. Yeah. He's half Asian.
I always say that to the black people. Yeah, you know Tiger Woods, the best Korean golfer. You ought to see how mad they get.
Well, is he Korean?
Yeah.
His mother is Asian.
All right. I thought he was half Negro. No.
Yeah, he is.
But I say to the black people, he's the best Korean golfer I've ever seen. And if they say anything, I say, what, are you a racist? Shuts them right up.
But it's all about getting the masses used to the faces, you know, and the people. I don't think the Americans would have elected a 100% Asian.
Well, they wouldn't be able. Yeah, they wouldn't be able to talk.
But Obama is half white, I suppose.
His mother's Jewish.
Is she?
Yep.
Dunham.
Doesn't
look it, you know.
Her mother was Jewish.
Sorry, you're breaking up.
I'm sorry. My fault.
His mother's mother was a Jewess.
Mother's mother.
So the father got exactly what he deserved, having his daughter marry a whatever.
Yep.
Actually, she married a few whatevers, right?
Yep.
So what do you think of his birth certificate? Is it photoshopped?
Oh, well, it's phony, but it don't matter, because the Jews want him in power. That's why he's there. And that's exactly the kind of government we get, the kind we deserve. And until our people repent, they're going to get even worse.
Yeah, sure.
Yes, but single-handedly, Obama has gone and captured and executed the man that blew up three towers with two tanks of kerosene.
A man that was dead 10 years ago.
Yes, it's laughable. It's laughable. It wasn't so sad. And they've quickly buried him in the ocean.
Just like all the rubble from the Twin Towers. Or the Triple Towers.
Yeah.
All buried at sea, yes. No evidence, no forensic analysis.
I found this, it's called a racial program. We were talking about the blacks, you know, mixing with the whites and everything. And I found this program here. It's called a racial program for the 20th century, 1912. Also in the Congressional Record, volume 103, page 8559, June 7th, 1957, Israel : And he says here, if you guys don't mind, this is pretty important for what's happening today. Now, this was back in 1957. It said, we must realize that our party's most powerful weapon is racial tensions. By propounding into consciousness of the dark races that for centuries they have been oppressed by whites, we can mold them to the program of the Communist Party. In America, we will aim for subtle victory. While inflaming the Negro minority against the whites, we will endeavor to instill in the whites a guilt complex for the exploitation of the Negroes. we will aid the Negroes to rise in prominence in every walk of life, in the professions, in the world of sports and entertainment. With prestige, the Negro will be able to intermarry with the whites and begin a process which will deliver America to our cause. Israel Cohen, Racial Program, the 20th Century, 1957.
Have you got a link to that? Have you got a link?
No, I just ran upstairs and I was going through all my stuff and I found that the other day and I wanted to, since we brought this up, I thought, Right. Wow, this is. But this was back in, this was their program back in 1912. And it was brought out in, this is part of the Congressional Record, volume 103, page 8559. But I just think does that fit today or what? This is what they've done.
Correct.
If you could email that to me, Danny, please.
Oh, sure. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I found some anytime. Stuff in there that's been sitting.
But, by the way, I forgot to mention, Sussex Man sends his apologies. He's on the road as we speak, heading south
home.
Home from Durham.
Right. Yeah, I told him before the beginning of the thing. Yeah. That he should be, right now he should be home. Just coming in. Yeah.
How is Tia tonight?
Fine.
Haven't heard much from you.
Hey, you're cutting out something horribly.
What's happening?
Oh, you're cutting out horribly. You have to disconnect and reconnect, I think.
Yeah. Oops, sir.
I think Tara is not feeling too well today.
Right, she's been under the weather for the past few days. Maybe longer than that. Maybe more like a week.
Yeah.
The chemtrails have been real heavy over here in the past 3 or 4 days.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people come with problems with their breathing. Really heavy.
Just to click in, name, get the microphone unmuted. So,
racially, or they're going to...
Muted, not open. Okay, here she is. Back again. Hey, what's with the microphone?
Still breaking up, dear.
Something peculiar. Something. Nothing comes through.
I'll just wait a little bit, maybe. It'll work out. Yeah. Also,
well.
She was quite clear early on.
Yeah, beginning was perfect. Something.
Yeah.
Microphone. Something strange.
Well, it's definitely her internet connection. It's not her microphone.
Yeah.
But when you see that choppiness, that's an internet connection problem. That's not a microphone problem. Well, when you're fading in and out.
Okay, but... Yeah, okay, now she's disconnected completely. That's best. Coming in again.
Right, she maybe be better off rebooting her computer.
Yeah, even.
Especially at a time like this, we're all gabbing.
You know your radio programs. Is there a place where one can see what is on, like a program, click into a particular program?
I don't understand what you mean.
I can't quite. I mean, I can go into the ones you've got on your main site, Christogenia, but if there was some broadcast that was older, how does one get into those? Or do you just go in there and it sort of follows?
All of my podcasts are online, every single one of them are on my website. There's a whole section of Internet Radio Archives by topic that doesn't include the forums. But if you want the forums, you go to the top and you click on podcasts. And where you click on podcasts, that breaks it down by program, right?
Yes.
the menu on the right, Internet Radio Archives by topic, that breaks it down by topic. But the open forums aren't on there.
No.
At the top, you'll see podcasts, and you click on that, and you'll see a different graphic and explanation for each of the programs. You know, yes. If you go to the top, you'll see the Friday night program is at the top now. And the Monday night open forum program is second, and the Euro forum, this program is third, and the Mein Kampf program is the Nazi flag is fourth, and then the older ones that I did with Eli follow.
I'm with you now. Yes, thank you.
Okay, and clicking on any one of them, if you click on the Voice of Christian Israel, you'll get every time I did a Sunday afternoon program for Eli, that's what's there.
Right, thank you very much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all there. Except that the Mein Kampf archive is going to take you off my site to the Mein Kampf site, right?
Yes.
To my Hitler site, as people call it.
Yes.
Bill, I was listening to a talk to you this afternoon, and you mentioned that you'd been invited on some radio program, and you were going to provide a response. I think you were going to take it up.
This gentleman contacted me named Charles Giuliani, and I feel real bad, but with my mother in the hospital and getting her knee replaced, and I'm just recovering from all the time I lost there now, and I still haven't gotten back to him, but I'm going to probably try to get back to him next week.
But because on another program, you took the attitude that you weren't going to indulge them, because it would be a setup and you would be...
I think maybe you're getting a couple of different things mixed up. I was contacted by the people, by people that are at the Onion, and I declined because they have Jews on their staff, and I was afraid that I was just being set up. They do satire and comedy and well, one of them, I don't know if he's sincere or not, right? I don't know, but he contacted me about how much he likes my Mein Kampf site and would I like to do something. And I know what the Onion's all about, and I just said no. I don't want to do anything.
What is the Onion? I never heard of that.
It's a website that does a lot of satire, and they take a lot of shots at Jews, right? But they got Jews on their staff. That they got Jews working for them. I don't know if Jews are behind the scenes or not. That they got some non-Jews on their staff, but that they got a lot of Jews on their staff. I'm not working with an outfit like that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I just don't trust them.
Yeah, you don't know what they're going to
say. Even if one non-Jew on their staff likes my work, I still don't know. Yeah, you know, I'm not going to walk into a trap.
Yeah. Sure. You don't have to worry. Get in a situation like that, just start bringing up about the Talmud and everything like that, and they'll get you off real fast.
Well, right, but I'm just not going to do it. You know, I'm not afraid of anybody, but I'm just not going to go there and suffer somebody trying to make me look stupid.
No, you don't want to be ambushed.
There's no fruit in it.
Now, do you have to go down to the studio and all that?
No, this is just a preliminary email, but I declined right away. You know, I just declined right away.
Yeah, I watch that stuff going down there in places like that. You don't go down there unless your army goes with you.
I don't know. I like to think that I am a weapon. Nah, it's I'm not afraid of anything, but it's just that I just wouldn't walk into that situation where I'm tangling with the enemy because they can't be. There's no salvation in them. There's no fruit in them.
I mean, if you knew you were going out to, like, 10 million people or something like that.
It's still not even worth it. They're going to chop it up and present it so that you look like a buffoon.
Like an idiot. Yeah.
You know, look at these idiots that go, like August Christ and the rest of these fools that go on a Jerry Springer show.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, look at those fools.
Yeah, they don't,
Mark and Lee have dog power again.
You know, you could give it to her, too, because I'm not even at my desk. I keep trying to explain that to all you people with that C next to your name, that you could just click on somebody's name and give them talk power.
Period.
And that way you could give it to yourselves when you have to leave the channel and come back in, right?
Yeah.
There's Martin.
Oh, Tia.
And Taya is still breaking up. Taya, you might have to reboot your whole computer.
Yeah, you definitely need a reboot.
Type to us, Taya. Type to us.
Okay.
I put a link into that Israel Cohen.
Oh yeah, okay. I was getting ready to scan it for
you
guys.
The Stormfront, yeah.
I've never actually seen the book. I'd like to see a, photo set or something, a book.
How was that title one with the protocols?
This was found in the Congressional Record, Volume 103, page 8559.
Okay, because it said something in the article about how that there's Jews out there that are trying to refute it, saying that's false.
Oh, yeah, they always refute it. There was another
Jew by the name of Myron Fagan who actually confirms it. So who was Israel?
I think he addressed the...
I know he was one of the Fabian socialists, and George Bernard Shaw was in bed with him, right?
And he, I think he was addressing the World Jewish Congress. I think that's where he came from.
Was he a playwright?
Yes.
Israel Cohen was a playwright?
Yes, I believe he was. He was the one that wrote that play, The Melting Pot.
The Melting Pot. Okay.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm getting them mixed up. That's Israel Zangwill. That's a different... That's Israel Zangwill.
Bill, you don't understand. Let me see here. I'm going to see if I can get
it. They were... They all knew each other, right? They lived at the same time?
Yeah,
Because the protocols came out about 1912? Or thereabouts?
Something like that. Yeah, I thought it was around 1895 or something like that.
Okay,
whatever. I mean...
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It all comes true today.
Yeah.
The Zionist conference was about 1897-8, but I think it took them a few years to publish or for the protocols to be translated. You know.
Yeah, because apparently the protocols were put together by some rabbis.
Yeah, the council of rabbis. Yeah. Okay, let me see if I can get this.
Okay, TRT is back again, rebooted.
I'll boot that.
Now she has to double-click the TIA name to get talk power.
Oh, let's see.
Yeah, okay. Hey,
Matthew keeps telling me you need to be turned on, but he just won't do it himself, and you could do it yourself, too.
I know, I normally do, but this...
So that I don't have to be married to the screen, right? I mean...
Well, who do you think opened RPW's channel? It was me.
Okay. Well, you can do it yourself.
I know.
Okay.
Can you actually hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, loud and clear.
Hmm. I don't understand why it didn't work before, because it worked at the beginning.
Same thing.
Yeah, it
worked.
You know, drivers in memory can become corrupt. There's a lot of things. You could open up a program that that interferes with your internet connection, or there's a million reasons what can happen.
Okay.
Yep. Excuse me. Oh, let me see.
So, Olam, what part of Ireland are you in?
I'm in the Great North. Northern England. But I was born and raised in Ireland. In the north of Ireland, County Down.
Okay.
But I moved here in 1986, so I'm an Ulster man living in England.
In England.
trying to edit a book on Scotland. having a Welsh son-in-law.
When you coming over again?
Yeah, yeah.
When you coming over to Belfast again, Olam?
Tuesday or Wednesday.
Are you?
Yeah.
What is today?
Did you not get my email?
Thursday.
No, I haven't. I haven't checked my emails and all that stuff, but I will. I've been pretty bad at that. I've been trying to get this house painted and all that. The inside, outside. When it rains, you work on the inside. And when it's sunny, we had a couple, almost 2 weeks of real nice weather. How was it over there in England? Was it pretty nice over there, too?
We've had raging forest fires. The moorlands where I live are all on fire. They've been burning for the last 6 days. They're out of control. There are lots of areas of England which are on fire. In fact, the front page of the Daily Telegraph today has a massive picture of a burning forest, and it says Australia, no, Berkshire.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. With no water. You know, it hasn't rained for ages. We've got a drought.
Wow.
Yeah, I know it hasn't rained in a couple weeks over here. Today it rained.
Well, Tay, you're welcome here. I mean, water's still seeping into my basement. We have plenty.
Yeah. You tell me what's happened. I know that levee was blown and all that farmland at Cairo, at the junction of the Mississippi and the Ohio, that's all been flooded. I was also reading when I went online to find out that those farmers obviously aren't insured for this kind of flooding.
Of course not. Of course they're not insured for it. It's purposeful.
Isn't that terrible?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's so deliberate and,
It has to fall under eminent domain. They have to be recompensed their property from the government.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a taking of private property by the government.
Hang on. From what I was reading today, they will have lost this year's crops.
Well, of course.
But the government is leaving them with their land. And they'll have to replant later in the year.
And what about the value of their houses and their homes, their barns, their furniture, their livestock?
Yeah,
absolutely. It's horrendous.
And what about the people with orchards and not soybeans?
Yes.
That are going to take 20 years to replace.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's quite scandalous that it should have been allowed to happen. In fact, I tried to do a bit of research on the military commander, the guy who's in charge of that Mississippi. I just wondered where he came from, but I drew a lot of blanks. I've forgotten his name. Is it Michael Jackson or something like that? No.
Michael Walsh, I think.
That's it. Yes. I mean, you have to have a social mentality to want to do something, to carry out those sort of orders.
Well, basically, the federal government sacrificed 100 good farming families and good and productive farming families for 500 crack houses and 3,000 Negroes.
Yeah.
That's what it boils down to. I just put the link to my page in the chat. That'll probably be the subject of the next Saxon Messenger editorial. They said it was to save the. They flooded these farms to save the town of Cairo. I got two witnesses. Well, one in the New York Times and one in the a local television station, local in Missouri. And I got about 60 pictures here that I took myself to show people what Cairo looks like. It's a slum.
Yeah.
It's all abandoned buildings and crack houses and to use vulgar language once again, titty bars. That's it. It's garbage. It's a decadent, decrepit town that's full of scum. It's full of parasites. And the government saved it and sacrificed all these all these beautiful farms.
Yeah.
They're in the farmland. Yeah.
Terrible. So what happened now?
Well, that guy.
You'll have to read the link. I'm not going to go through it again.
Apparently.
Well, right, and I didn't want to talk about the New Madrid fault line because it's really secondary to the real crime here.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But again, I noticed. You remember you had the. What was it? The earthquake down in Haiti and the Japanese earthquake and tsunami and everything, and that real bad one down in Australia and New Zealand. You didn't hear anything about that helping those people down in Australia.
No, not at all.
New Zealand. Racism. They just hate whitey.
Right, when a Negro stubs his toe, they want to rush at him with federal funds.
Yeah.
But that was just, and I, you know, you talk to people about it, and it's like, well, yeah, but the Australians are real, they're real rugged people, and they can, you know, they can take care of themselves. And it's like, well, yeah.
Well, if the Australians are real rugged and can take care of themselves, and the blacks can't help themselves, that then we should have Australians on all our football and basketball teams.
I think we should bring them into our countries and stuff like that.
And we should send the Negroes packing.
Start bringing up all those South African doctors, those white doctors, and all those professional people out of South Africa, too. I heard they're having a hard time trying to get into England and America and everything like that. Bring them on up here.
Most of our doctors are Asian now.
Isn't it? It's
and they can't speak the language, our language.
My doctor was saying, the GP here was telling me, well, what was it, about 3 weeks ago when I saw him, that he doesn't like the fact that they come up here and go to school and go to Queen's University and get a paid-for education, and then they're supposed to go back. He said they're supposed to go back to their country and help their people back there, but they end up staying here. He says, I don't like that. That's not right. And it isn't right. He wants to go. I'm not going to go to Paggy. Everything is affected, this multiculturalism.
I'm not sure.
Oh, it's anti-white, anti-Christian. Yes. You know, yes. We have a heritage,
yeah,
too,
that we're
entitled to.
Already, the European Union is being flooded with illegals from Libya. And most of them are coming through Turkey. And Turkey's just sort of funneling them through. And, of course, the first countries they reach are Italy and Greece, who have no idea how to deal with them. They're just being overwhelmed. And a lot of the illegals that are coming through Turkey are also from Afghanistan and from even Somalia and Morocco. And these are just coming straight in. And because Greece and Italy don't know what to do with them, they've been giving them European papers, which has enabled them to move throughout the EU. And France has actually put a blockage up on its border, which is against the Schengen Agreement. But that's really good, because we really need the nations to have their borders returned to them. So something good might come out of it, although I'm not going to hold my breath.
Well, Germany has the same problem, and they also thought about it, to close the border, because it's crazy to get even more of them in.
That's right.
But it's today's times.
But, I mean, they're just flooding in from these zones.
If you don't accept every last one of them, you're nothing but a bunch of evil Nazis.
That's right.
There's that word again. Yeah. Nazis.
In fact, you better not only accept them, you better educate them and feed them for the next 30 years, too.
Yeah.
And all their families.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I heard the leader of the British Labour Party, Ed Miliband, who's a Edomite from Eastern Europe, but he'd probably be the next Prime Minister, probably within 4 years. He was being weekly interrogated by the BBC on the radio about immigration, because someone in the Labour Party admitted that they'd made mistakes with their three governments, you know, for 12 years. But he refused to say he would put a cap on immigration. He said basically it was a question of timing. In other words, that they probably brought slightly too many in over a short period, you know, so that they've learned from that. And when he becomes Prime Minister, they'd be just a bit more subtle, you know, they'll spread it more evenly. But he's agreed to unlimited numbers from non-EU countries. So it's basically Somalis and Pakistanis and Bangladeshis, unlimited numbers on top of all that they brought in during their 12 years of misrule, you know.
Well, if we weren't members of the EU, they couldn't do all
right.
This.
Oh, well, yeah, but this, these are non-EU. He refused to put a number, a cap. I mean, the current coalition government say that they have a... Well, it depends on which half of the coalition, but in theory, they've got a cap on the numbers coming in, but the other half of the coalition have no cap. So it's basically a very similar policy, unlimited numbers from the European Union and from the rest of the world, you know.
My brother rang yesterday. He lives in London, and he said, do you know there's a million people on the waiting list for houses in London? I couldn't believe the figure. A million.
Imagine.
Waiting for housing.
Well, I'll bet 900,000 of them are Arabs who are living with other Arab families.
And that means they're going to send them over here to Northern Ireland, then.
Imagine how many people will come illegally for the 2012 Olympic Games. And they won't go home.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, looks like we may have some fun here in town. I don't know. Jeez. Yeah. You know, when I was living in California, I had the blacks tell me, why don't you take your old white, you know, so-and-so, and go back over there to Europe where y'all come from, y'all. All right, so I came over here, and now I got them coming over here. I'm going to have to end up going to the moon or something or whatever.
Yeah.
They're following you, Danny.
They're following me, yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez. No. I don't know money or anything. But it's just funny. I remember a black guy at work. He was pretty upset with me. And he was telling me, why don't you take your white so-and-so and go back over to Europe where you people came from? So, and it's like, well, I ended up coming over here, you know, and now they're following me. We'll see.
They better send the blacks back to Africa. If they're talking about us, then they don't need to be there. They better go to Africa. Heaven, they will never go.
No.
It must be largely empty.
Yeah, they
all love that Afro-American stuff, but they don't want to go back. Just go back. Go there. You might like it. Get out of here. You can run. You don't have to fix your house or anything. No pressure.
They don't fix their houses.
No. I thought I heard it. What was that joke I heard that the black guy was talking to God and ask him how come he, you know, he had that black skin and kinky hair and all that stuff. And he says, well, over in Africa, you know, where I created you, you know, so you can run in the fields and go through the bushes without getting your hair cut and all that. And he says, well, how come, and then the black guy asked God again, well, how come you made my legs so long? And he said, well, because over in Africa and everything, when you're running after your animals and everything, you can track them down and kill them and, you know, it'd be a lot easier. And he said, well, if you made everything for me over in Africa, why did you put me over in Cleveland, Ohio then, God?
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Well, I just let that one by.
That wasn't... Maybe I should have used London, England.
Cleveland's loaded with them. But he didn't make them and he didn't put them there. Yeah. We can't blame it on him.
No,
we can't.
But
that one is the result of our own sin that they're there.
And there's a lot of them there too. Did you, Olam? Did you get that?
Get what?
I just sent you that copy of that Israel Cohen, your email. I just emailed it to you. I hope you got it.
I haven't got my email open. It was Stormfront.
No, it was just a...
Yeah, Stormfront, you can read it. That's correct.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if Stormfront put the rest of that part down on there.
Well, it looks like they burned Edgar Steele.
Did they?
On all five counts.
What happened?
I guess they found him guilty on all five counts.
No.
Oh, my gosh. Hmm. I wonder who his attorney was.
A guy by the name of McAllister.
Hmm.
Sloppy case, anyway.
Yeah, it was probably kangaroo court.
As usual.
Yeah, look what they did to Ernest Zundel and all those. David Irving. Look what they did to Jesus. They threw Jesus in jail, too. So.
Well,
yeah, that's really too
Steele isn't exactly a Christian.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any difference.
He was pretty right-wing, but I hate to see any people that are fighting the Jews and stuff like that get thrown in prison. But
well, it's what you get for writing books like Defensive Racism, isn't that? Which is pretty well, wouldn't that?
Yeah. Now, he's an attorney himself.
Yes.
From what I understand. I don't know a whole bunch about him, but I read some about his stuff.
Be spending the next 20 years in a prison law library and maybe at Elkton. It's a shame, but that's I find it hard to have empathy for people that aren't Christians and that embrace one enemy in order to defend themselves against another. There's no sense to it. I think he had a lot of shortcomings in his thought. And the when the government sets their sights on you, there's no avoiding it.
What
Well, he exposed the Jew, didn't he? He exposed their nature.
I've never read his books. I've read a few articles from him in the Barnes Review, and I had mixed emotions about his articles.
Yeah, he didn't have the full picture by any means. He just got one part of it. I mean, I don't think he was... Oh, I just can't believe it's happened.
Yeah, he went to jail. He went to jail because he was... What was it, planning on killing his wife or something like that?
Well, that was a setup.
That's what they said, but it's like his wife says, I don't think he's trying to kill me.
Yeah.
Okay. I just kangaroo court to me.
I mean, you can provide the evidence you want, and they obviously did.
Well, right. That's absolutely true. And he's going to get no play in the mainstream media because he's a racist, so he has to be evil, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I always thought that from what I knew about Edgar Steele, he was always a pretty good guy. But...
Well, in his book, he actually says that he had this... successful law practice, and then he made the mistake of taking into partnership with him this Jew. And up until that time, his eyes were completely closed. And then this guy did him out of all sorts of things, you know, whipped him off left, right, and centre. So he had a real eye-opening. Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
And he writes about this at length, and he also always said that, you know, they're all the same. So he obviously made a lot of enemies.
Maybe he'll find his identity and
there'll be a reason for all this. Yeah,
he might get out too. So they can throw any of us in prison anytime they want.
Yes, they can.
And so for anything, and I'm sure those times are gonna we're gonna come into those times too where. Can't speak for fear of the Jew. I feel things are going to get way worse before Yahshua returns.
Yeah.
I just think that. I just believe that we're going to, maybe not all of us, but you know, some of us are going to.
Well, I think this year is going to be particularly catastrophic. I mean, it has been already.
Absolutely.
Number 11.
Absolutely. 11.
Yeah.
Number 11.
No doubt about it. Yeah.
And it was funny, too, that Middleton, that Common Kate, as they call her, and that wedding and everything, it was on April 29th. 2 and 9 is 11.
I
don't know. That number 11 just seems like it keeps popping up all the time.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see what happens on November 11th.
Right.
This
11, year. 11, 11.
Yeah, 11, 11. Are they going to collapse the economy on that day?
Yeah.
Because George Soros already said... I saw a quote by George Soros, and he says that America will be a second-rate power by 2016. So maybe that's the, I don't know. They speak vain things.
Yeah.
And Yahweh looks down on them like grasshoppers.
Yeah.
I think they really think that they're going to take this world and they're going to rule this world.
Yeah.
And it'll never happen. It'll never happen.
Pay them back. Double.
I think sometimes we give them more credit. I mean, they're very cunning and everything, but still, we give them more credit sometimes than they deserve because they're a cursed people, and vagabonds and fugitives fleeing from one country to another. If they're going to get hit in America, they're going to probably run to Brazil and China, try to get away.
Or even to Tasmania.
An audio expert that Steele had hired to question the authenticity of the recordings was unavailable to testify because he was reportedly vacationing in Bora Bora.
What is that, Bill?
You couldn't make it up.
It's funny. It's sad.
What was that? Is that Steele's attorney?
That's at spokesman.com stories. I just put the link in there.
Let me see.
There was some strange thing about Steele and these Russian mail order brides. Got him screwed. That's what got him.
This computer's so slow.
What was that about mail order brides?
Apparently, he was messing around with Russian mail order brides or something.
Who, Steele?
That's him.
Yeah. Yep. And his wife, even though she said he was innocent, she confirmed it.
Hmm. Yep, that's what it says here. Steele sent more than 14,000 messages to the woman and others whom he met through an online dating site. His wife and other supporters said the communication was part of his research into Russian mail-order brides. Get the hell out of here.
That's what burned him.
That peculiar.
The jury of 11 women and one man. Oh, my God, Edward, I could have helped you with that jury.
Well, I'm sorry, but there's always more to the story. There always seems to be more to the story. And if he's messing with Russian mail-order brides...
Oh, that's what happens.
Part of his research. There's something up with that. I'm sorry. I can't. You know, Yahweh might find one way to punish us for something else, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows
what... And agreed to represent Aryan Nation's Richard Butler. I met Richard Butler a few times.
Often the calamity that we meet is punishment for something else that we've done and not for what's evident.
When he offered money to Larry Fairfax. Geez, I wonder who Larry Fairfax is.
Larry Fairfax actually turned out to be the cousin of Bill Maher from Politically Incorrect.
There you go. Little Jew boy. Larry Fairfax.
But Larry Fairfax was discovered lying on many counts.
Stealing. Stealing silver from the steals.
Well, you know what? And I went through it personally, right? The man that testified against me and my co-defendants, he admitted lying when my lawyer cross-examined him in state court. He admitted lying 100 times. And the federal court said, we're not going to use that as evidence.
Yeah.
The federal court in the United States, the judge gets to pick what evidence comes and goes, and will tie. You will be tied up for years.
And that, you know whose fault that is? That's the fault of the jury, because the jury can override the judge.
Well, right is the fault of the jury. If you get that far, 98% of the people that go to federal court end up copping a plea, and that's because you just find it impossible to beat the system. And they'll run you out of money.
Yeah.
They'll run you out of money. They ran me out of money. And I spent $130,000.
Bill, were you sort of 6 or 7 years fighting this before?
8 years. It took 8 years for them to get me into prison, yes.
So add that to your prison sentence. That was
right. Basically, you're in prison for that time, too. Basically, that's true. You're in prison fighting your case before you get to prison. It's crazy.
So evil.
So I sympathize with Edgar Steele for that, but if he's messing online with 14,000 messages to Russian women,
yeah.
Look, I read his
that's pretty damning.
For years, yeah, but if he was actually researching a subject, I mean, it's quite a controversial subject, isn't it? Human trafficking.
Well, right, but you know, he also has no.
Yeah, but
it's not his regular field, right?
When he was in the jail, he was still in communication with one of the Russian women, confessing his love to her, and which makes no sense whatsoever. Because when they're locked up on a federal murder charge, is going to be for killing the wife is going to be.
That's why I don't believe it. You'd have to be absolutely stupid to do that.
Yeah. I mean, even his wife said that she doesn't believe it. What does she say?
She said that
she knew that he was doing this research.
She says, we have proof which was denied in the courtroom.
Because I know she was sending out emails for help, financially.
Yes, she was.
Good.
Yeah. But it's so easy for somebody to assassinate your character like this. Because we've no means of knowing what is true and what is not.
Well, it is, but it's what I read is that his wife admitted that he was doing that, right? That maybe she was just, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it. I have very mixed feelings about it. I've seen too many guys that claim that they were researching pedophilia. Well, when they were caught with pedophilia, I've seen it too often. I'm sorry, so I have to be a critic. I've just seen it too much.
We've all got to be cynics.
Sexual incontinence is so often the downfall of so many apparently good men. Believe me.
Yeah. Well, like I said, the jury.
Look at Solomon and his wisdom with his 300 concubines.
Yeah.
Mother-in-laws after you and everything like that. 300 mother-in-laws. Aren't you going to marry my daughter? I don't care if you're the king. Oh, no wonder he went nuts.
Well, the jury's still out as far as I'm concerned on the Steele case. I'm not going to go one way or the other. I'm not going to condemn the guy, but I think that he got himself into trouble. With the sex thing, that's my what strikes me. Whether or not it's true, it's the appearance of it is enough, right?
Okay, yeah.
I'd have to talk to Steele myself. That's the way I feel about it. I'd have to talk to him myself.
Well, I just followed his rants. They came into my computer every week.
And you
build up a picture of somebody over a period of many years. And then I've read several of his books. And then I followed his arrest, and so forth. And the whole thing seemed to me to just stink to high heaven.
Right.
Well, I'm certain.
But I don't have any more information, and I'm not likely to find any with the controlled media as it is.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm a pretty good judge of character. I always thought that Bill Clinton was a great governor and everything, and I don't understand all these girls trying to attack him when he became president. That was a joke. Yeah.
Well, I'm a cynic.
Another liar. That's what Obama reminded me of the other day when he came out about his birth certificate. It reminded me back in, I think it was in 95, when Clinton came out and said that he did not have sexual relations with those women. Same thing, I mean, the American people, I think by now they can smell it. They can smell a rat.
Well, it's still, if I was going to delve into research of that type, I would write preliminary articles and build up a verifiable history of my research in that area.
But when his house was ransacked, that's the word I wanted.
Yeah.
They took every computer, they took everything, and they actually took. What am I trying to say? The walls. They took the walls apart as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the house was absolutely gutted. So if he did have any work that he'd done, it will not see the light of day.
Right. But if he'd have published something somewhere on the internet, there would be a record of it.
Yeah, well, he probably didn't know it was coming down on him. It's like that letter from the IRS that you get in the mail, you know?
Yeah, that's why we have to be as transparent as possible. That's what I think. That's my attitude, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing any secret research that everybody that listens to me and reads my site doesn't know about, right? I don't know.
I hear you there, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
It's easy to be Monday morning quarterback, but I don't know. We have to put our trust in God and not in men, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Because you know how they are nowadays, too, you know? We all know that
whoever the government sets their sights on, that person they could silence. That there's no doubt.
Yeah, look what they did to Timothy McVeigh.
But a lot of people might use that as a cloak for their sin, right?
Mm.
Okay.
So just because a person is anti-government doesn't mean that what we have to expect that he's without sin.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we can't take anything for granted.
They all got skeletons in the closet.
But we can't take anything for granted. All men are sinners. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
If I would think, you know, even if he's not guilty of wanting to kill his wife, that his dabbling with Russian women with 14,000 messages, I mean, that ain't no, that's not any little fling, you know?
No.
14,000 messages.
Bill?
That's big stuff.
He was giving legal advice. Jeez, helping him try to come into the country.
Well, I've had my forum. Let's put things in perspective, right? I don't have half the time I would like to have for my forum. But I've had it for a year and a half now, and I got 659 posts. So imagine 14,000 messages, right? That's a lot of messages.
Yeah.
That ain't no joke.
I just think it's... It does not add up at all.
It doesn't add up, yeah.
And,
something wrong here.
There's something, yeah.
Well, at least they didn't shoot him. They get too dangerous, they shoot him.
Well, he did have that massive heart attack. I think that was helped.
Still have a heart attack?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say that a man in that predicament with the federal government coming down on you and indictments and you're under a tremendous amount of pressure, right?
No, prior to the indictments.
Oh, yeah?
Okay.
Yeah, just still some things that don't make sense.
Well, I'm going to say goodnight to everybody.
Okay, Betty, I hope you, I don't know, I guess you didn't have any questions about the Isaiah 65 thing, but we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks, and Yahweh bless.
Okay, then.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, right.
Okay, ladies.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
All blessings.
Good night. But that is interesting about Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, what is it, 5?
Well, that's what we should do with sinners. We should put them out of our company. Even if if he agrees with us and he's a sinner, we should put him out. Unrepentant sinners have to be put out of the community, period.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about these beasts they got in the...
Well, they don't belong in the community at all.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to read over this again, too, but it does say that fornication is generally reported among you.
Yeah, read my translation. It's a little clearer.
Yes, isn't it the 5th chapter of 1 Corinthians?
Yes. Paul's telling them to take that fornicator and put him out of the community. That doesn't mean just putting somebody out of church on Sunday. That means putting them out. That means excoriating him from your society. Don't buy with him, don't sell, don't hire, don't have anything to do with him.
Yeah, it's best to do.
If the whole community did that, where would that man would have to go outside to the aliens and the whoever and Yahweh's going to use those aliens to judge that man, right? That's the picture I have in my head when I read that chapter, and it makes perfect sense. If Christians practiced Christianity, we wouldn't be in this shape. We wouldn't have these problems that we have in our society.
Mm-hmm.
if you're a homosexual or an adulterer or a thief or whatever, you're being put out of the community.
See, the thing about it is, Bill, is me using these other Bibles and everything, and now using your Bible, with all the translations corrected and all the mistranslations out, it's a whole different.
well, I hope all the mistranslations are out, but that's probably not so, right? There's probably, maybe I introduced some new ones.
But it's just a different, you know, you have to read the whole Bible. Now I got to read this whole book again.
That's it. That's
good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I want to know, I've always wanted to do that and go in there and dig, find out what this translation was and that. I mean, here and there, you know, you learn things, you know, like the last part of Mark not being part of the Bible. But you did a lot of work for me, so it took it. Saved me a lot of time. Oh, thanks.
I have a page. I did make some mistakes in the preparation of the typed edition. I mean, in one place I lost three verses. I feel really bad about that. And I can't do a damn thing about it because we're all human and I'm going to make mistakes, right?
Yes.
But I hope to correct them soon. I got an errata page on Christogenia.
Now let me ask you, Bill, has any other so-called Greek scholars or Bible scholars come to you after reading your book and say, hey, you know what, this is not right or anything? Or
No, they complain about the only complaints I've had are the use of the titles and the names, right?
Oh.
Which I don't care about. They could all go eat hay.
You mean your picture in the front?
But no, the use of the titles and the names. Yahweh, Prince. You know, I mean, I give my reasoning to some extent in an appendix, but a lot of people don't like that because they expect me to be a Greek purist, right? Well, if it's a title or a name, you know who we're referring to, so what's it matter?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they did call him Prince.
Well, that's my translation of Kurios, and I did that for a reason, but the translation's a valid translation. I don't see anything wrong with it. Thayer supports it.
Yeah.
It's one choice out of many, right?
That up before too, yeah.
It could have been sovereign. It could have been Lord. I wanted to avoid. Right. Yeah, you know, sovereign, I don't, that word can just, it's burdensome, right? It's a long word for I didn't like to use it all the time, but Lord, I just wanted to avoid, you know. And to me, a prince is perfectly. It's also you know, it shows an understanding of prophecy that he's waiting to be king, right? When he returns, he's king.
He'd be the prince of peace.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, right. So, out of all the titles that I could have used when I started my translation back in, I think it was 2003 or something like that when I started Paul. 2001, I think I started Paul. Well, anyway, Prince was my favorite word out of all those words. I considered them all, and mm-hmm. I knew I'd catch hell for it right then, but that's what I went with. But I never expected to have even a whole translation at that time. I never expected to translate the New Testament. I really didn't set out to translate the New Testament, right? I set out to translate Romans.
Uh-huh.
And after I translated Romans, I translated 1 Corinthians and then 2 Corinthians. So over a year I translated Paul, and I was going to leave it there, and somebody typed it up for me all nice, and after he typed it up, for me all night, I realized the notes had to be rewritten, so I rewrote the notes, and he typed all the notes, and
yeah.
I thought, this is nice, and maybe I should do Luke, too, because Luke's important to Paul, and Luke's really, Luke's gospel is Paul's gospel, so I went and I did Luke, too. And he typed that up real nice, and then I said, you know, I'm not going to have time to do all the notes that I'd like to do, but since I'm here and I got a couple of years left, I may as well translate the rest of the New Testament. So that's why I translated the New Testament. I never really planned on it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well,
you're simply rolling in.
Somebody was giving you advice then up above because it needed to be done. I, you know, to have somebody that understands the two seed line of Christian identity do it, that's Well, that's something I've never seen before.
But, well, to translate the Bible right, it has to be translated in context.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't translate it in context unless you understand the context.
That's right.
So aside from the names and the titles, I really tried not to add any words to the Greek. Okay. And there's only two places maybe where there's words in italics. And I didn't add any. And that's why my wording is kind of rough in a few places, because I wasn't really going for readability. I was going to capture the meaning without adding any words, right? That was my goal.
Yeah.
How you doing, Rudolph? To be able to capture the meaning of what was being said without adding any words. And nobody's questioned any part of my translation outside of their names and titles. They whine about that like little sissies, but that they don't... I've had a couple of scoffers over that, but they don't. They have. I'd argue the Greek with anybody, right? I mean, I may not be 100% perfect. There might be a few things in there that are, you know, where maybe I took a imperfect verb and rendered it as an aorist verb instead, or the aorist verb is difficult, and maybe I didn't. I could have rendered it better in a few places. And maybe I could have picked better words in a few places. There's a couple of places I've noticed where I wished I'd have translated a different word, you know, that it would have been better. But overall, I don't. Nobody's questioned my translation. Nobody's told me, hey, this is wrong, or this, you know, the Greek isn't right, or whatever. But which is
your book, you got the Corinthians up in the front after the Acts, and then.
The only method to my madness was to keep all of John's work together.
And keep it together, right?
And to keep Luke's work together.
Right. But
that was the only method to my madness.
Mm-hmm. But hey, let's get back to this. This has been on my mind. It still bothers me. I mean, what do you do when you have a child molester and you're going to run him out of your community? And he's just going to go into some other community and do the same thing.
Not if you castrate him from the neck down. No.
No, I mean, see, this is what I mean, how can you run society? And I mean, we are an anti-Christian society now, or we got so far away from, but
Christians have been trained.
Man has to have laws to live by.
Christians have been trained. We've been trained. Well, we've been trained for political correctness. But when you see a faggot, you're trained not to mention that man's sexual immorality because you might offend somebody. Because you might stir up trouble. Because you might embarrass somebody. That's the way we've been trained. We have Judaized minds. That kind of mindset makes it safe for Satan to walk the streets.
Yeah.
But when you see a faggot, you should go, hey, there's a faggot.
But how do we have to have laws that control this kind of stuff? I mean, you got, like I said before, you have a child molester or a rapist. You just can't cast him out. You gotta take him out.
I understand that nothing's going to cure his child molestation or his proclivity to rape. But that's why we can't function until we function as a body. And we don't function as a body.
Yeah.
But we don't function as a Christian body. We can't function as a Christian body. Because half of us don't believe it. The other half don't want to practice it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even.
Half of us would rather worship the beast. Half of us want to argue, oh, that poor man, because they're listening to the Jew instead of to God.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's part of the trial of this age. We have to show, you know, this isn't about perfect government on earth until the return of Christ. We can't have perfect government on earth. The whole world lies under the power of the devil.
Right.
We have to show our God that we want to obey him. And one way to do that is not to mess with any of these people or accept any of this sin.
Mm-hmm. Just stay separate from it.
Which is, half the problem I have with Eli's crooked theology. But what we can't, that these people of other races, we shouldn't deal with them at all. We should never buy and sell and trade with them. We should because we're accepting them. We should never have them as friends. Oh, he's okay. I know he's going to go back to Mexico when Jesus comes. But he's okay for now.
Forget
I can't help it that he's here, so I'll work with him and trade with him. No, that's bullshit. That's a false theology. That's a theology that only Satan could love.
Yeah.
Of course.
He's an animal, he's a beast, and I want nothing to do with him. I'm supposed to be separate from him. And no, he's not going back to Mexico when Jesus comes.
Certainly not. Yeah.
And Eli thinks this, huh?
That's what he teaches because he wants to broaden his tent and not offend anybody. And I'm bringing him up. I didn't want to, but I feel compelled to show the difference between a dangerous theology and the straight way.
Yeah, but you can't understand this message and not hurt people's feelings. That's the way it is.
But well, right, and that's what they don't. All those people don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Well, they don't want to please God, is what it boils down to. That they'd rather please men and seek the pleasures and rewards of men.
Yeah. Right, it doesn't work. I know. You just can't. You can't follow Yahweh and follow mammon.
Yeah. So, yeah. Serving two masters is impossible.
So now, what are we going to do about this problem then, Bill? I can't, this thing about, I don't know, there's got to be, well, I guess we can lock them up, I guess, I don't know.
Well, we can't do anything about this problem. What we do is we witness to the truth. That's our only duty here because that's all we can do.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all we can do. I mean, when you see a homosexual, you gotta tell the people around you that behavior is wrong. You can't accept that man because he's a sinner. He's not a homosexual. He's not living an alternative lifestyle. He's a damn pervert, and he's a sinner.
Yeah.
Sodomy. Yeah. Well, and you're in your job and profession. So did I. I did the same thing, Olam. I had to work with Mexicans and gangbangers and blacks and everything. I mean, that was the and.
But well, that's why they're gonna. That's why Peter warns us that this life is a fiery trial.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
That's why I got hurt and got out of there.
Yes, but things are so bad here. With political correctness, so-called, I could lose my job just for saying
well,
one word.
I understand that, and that's what you have to weigh against pleasing God. You have to take. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but you have to know that you could seek to please men or you could seek to please God.
Yeah, it's a tough. And
that's the trial of this life, Alan. That's why we're told that we're going to suffer in this life. That Christians are bound to suffer these things. It's a struggle we're all going to have.
Yeah, I understand what you're talking about, Alan, because I was in the same predicament. Absolutely,
well,
the same predicament.
No, well, I wonder, was
and
it?
And I had a good job,
same,
too, boy. Jeez.
Yeah. But when you work for a in the public sector or part of the public sector or with a regulatory body,
yeah.
Sorry, my dogs are having a bit of a.
They're making noise.
A bit of a gangbang. Have you got a child molester in your locality?
Oh no, I don't know. No. I was just using that as a example. You know,
yeah.
I mean, well, I know with the beast, I take them out. But I mean, when you got a white man that's a serial killer or a murderer or a rapist or a child molester.
Well, right. So you tell everybody, there's a child molester. Don't let your kid near him. He's a child molester.
I don't believe in taking these people and putting them in jail, giving them three meals a day and all this kind
of
stuff.
Of course not, because it never cures them.
It don't. It's not going to. So.
Well, I have some experience in my old church in near Belfast. The one of the scout leaders was a child molester, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember clearly. I refused to believe any of the rumors, you know. How could he be anything but pure because he was a big wig in the church, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, there was another chap who eventually was imprisoned and did 8 years for child molesting. I don't think there was any sort of serious buggery or anything going on, but it was bad enough to do 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it must have been bad, but he was an evangelical youth leader.
Yeah, that's how they get in there. Yeah, they get in those.
And organizing summer camps for grammar school
all the young boys.
And I my best friend had a bit of a dodgy incident with him, and when he told me this story, I, you know, dismissed him as having a overactive imagination. And then the next thing was the newspapers exposed him, and he was prosecuted. But that's two men in one small church, you know.
Yeah.
I realized that it's not just confined to the Catholic priesthood. It happens in Protestant churches.
Oh, that's right.
Well, of course.
Hey, I gotta say, how's Rudolph doing?
Rudolph is terminally busy. Probably got it worse than I got it.
I haven't heard from Rudolph in a while. If that's the same Rudolph that I know.
I'm listening. He's tired.
He's tired.
Yeah, he probably just got back from work or something. He works hard, Rudolph.
Yeah.
See, that's what happens.
Oh, okay.
His fiancée took over his laptop.
Yeah.
That can happen.
Rudolph, have you been getting my emails?
Okay.
Yes. Very good. I hope you don't mind them, do you? I'm...
Who, Osize.
Oh. Uh-oh. That's not good. Well, I'll tell you, that's... Yeah. Dude, we got a good group.
Well, it's been wonderful, but it's been almost 3 hours, too, and I have a Bible study real soon, and
What time is it?
It's almost 5 o'clock.
9:42 over here already?
Well, thanks for
I want to thank everybody, and it's been wonderful, and I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
In 2 weeks. I'm not there in 2 weeks.
Well, we'll miss you.
Yeah, I'm on my way to the Netherlands at that time.
Enjoy your trip.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh.
Okay,
praise
Yahweh. Good night,
everybody. Good night. Bye-bye. Tonight.